Mrs. Grace Folks, that's capital F-O-W-L-K-E-S, in Lime Rock, November 25th, 1985. And we'll start again with what brought you here to Salisbury?
Oh, I used to come on my vacation with my mother. And that's how I met my husband. He was born and raised here. And I got married to him. And I've been here ever since. It's been about 22 years now. I worked as a cook, and I worked as a nurse's aide since I lived in Salisbury. That's how I earned my livelihood to build my home, and I've taken care of foster children. I imagine I've taken care of about 10 or 12 foster children from the state of Connecticut. And I have one son that was born in Florida. That's where I was born. And he was in the service. He went to Bordentown Military School. And he left there and he went in the service. And he stayed in the service about 28 years in Germany and other parts of Europe. And he retired now from the service about 5 years now. He's been living in Torrington. That's the only child I really have.
Let's just check that. Mrs. Folks, I think you mentioned that your mother worked for some people here. Who did she work for?
The Childs.
The family named Childs.
Yes, Childs, and they lived in Falls Village on BB Hill. She worked for them about 28 years.
Was she here 28 years?
She came up from Florida with them for around 28 years.
What'd she do in Florida?
She didn't do anything in Florida. She just came up and worked with them every summer.
Was she a young girl when she came?
No. My mother was, I guess, in her late 50s, 40-something. And she came up with them every summer and lived right there with them and then went back to Florida with them.
So that would be approximately 1930 or thereabouts?
Yes, around 1930, 28 or 29, something like that. But I lived in New York at the time.
What was Salisbury like when you first came here? What was this area like?
Well, it was more or less like fields as it is now. But it was a lot of different type of people. I've watched it change, the people. And most of the people that I met when I first came to Salisbury are dead now, all gone.
Who were some of those people?
Well, that was Mrs. Blanding, Sarah Blanding. And Aunt May, we called her Aunt May, but her name, she was the daughter of Bissell, Dr. Bissell, Miss May Bissell. I used to take care of her as a nurse's aide before she died, but we were good friends before then. And there was Dr. Everett's. She's gone. And I I worked for a family that had children. I worked for Mr. Warner.
Warner?
Yes. Jonathan Warner. I taken care of his girls. And one of the girls came to see me, and I was living in Minnesota. The youngest girl, he lived with me most of the time I worked for them. And when I left there and went to Millbrook to work, she went right with me. So she's married now and has a little girl, and she visited me last month from Minnesota. She came over and spent a few hours with me, her and her stepmother, Mrs. Warner now, Dot. Ain't no Dot Warner that lives in Salisbury. That was Mr. Warner's other wife. So, all the girls are gone, then I taken care of another family, the, what was their name? They lived on the Racetrack Road. What is that road?
Off Wells Hill.
Wells Hill Road. Is that it? Well, anyway, you can take that road and go right into Sharon. Is that the shop
shop? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Well, now that family was they had three girls, and then afterwards they had two boys. They separated. I worked for them a couple of years, and I went to New York and lived with them there for a while. Then they came back here. But anyway, I've nursed a lot of people.
How old are you now?
Well, I'm 76.
So that so you came here when you were 50 or
yeah,
around
50.
Around
50.
Who were your personal friends? These are people you worked for. Who were your personal friends in the area, or were they the same?
All the same. I consider the people that I really worked for as my friends, but because I practically lived with them, you know. I lived at the Warner's.
You lived in when you were
taking
care of them.
And one person that I've taken care of, the house and them, was he was right with me. They lived in one of the houses on the lake. He was a musician, Artie Shaw.
Oh, Artie Shaw. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I taken care of their home and.
So Artie Shaw lived here in
yes.
in Lakeville around the lake.
Yes, he lived there. He, his fifth wife, I think. Her name was Evelyn Keyes. I worked for them a few years, taking care of the house while they toured the country. They bought a van. That's when the vans first were popular. They could sleep and cook and everything on the van. And they toured America. They went all through the Big Tree Country, all out west. And I got cards from them while they were gone. And he and she, they were wonderful people. And they were very nice to me. And I used to take care of the house and fix the dinners and all. And of course, Artie Shaw, he's a wonderful person, even though he had so many wives, but he was so particular about everything. He wanted his napkin and his plate and his glass, everything had to be perfect with him. And his room, his clothes, he never taken his things off if he didn't hang them up. That's right. His socks had to be in the right place. I remember those things about him. He was so particular. He'd take off his things and hang them on his rack. He had a pants rack. And you open his closet, everything was just so. He was a very particular person about his clothes and his room and where he lived. And I think that is one of the reasons he had so many wives, because he was very particular. And Mrs. Evelyn, she was very nice and neat, but she was harum scarum, you know, with everything. She'd take off things and throw them anywhere. And he was just to the opposite. Now, those people I take care of very well. So those people were my friends.
You mentioned that you got married up here.
Yes. Uh-huh. Judge Ranford. I had two weddings. Uh-huh. Because I was a Catholic and he was a Protestant.
Oh, yes.
And Father Reno's. He married us afterwards. He married me and him in the postage. He gave me my vows in the church, and then we went over. My husband stayed in the parsonage until he gave me my vows and whatnot in the church, and then he went back over to the parsonage and married us. Because I had to be married by the priest. But we were married first by Judge Ranford, and he served us old granddad after we married. I never taken a drink in my life. But we had a little, he gave us a little send-off. And they were my friends. She was very nice. We'd go by to see him, and then he died. And then she moved to another smaller house. We went there once because there used to be a club of women from the VFW, and we had a meeting there once or twice before she died. And that was Judge Ranson.
Is your husband living?
No, oh. He's been dead now about 9 or 10 years.
Well, what kind of work did he do?
He was a gardener.
Was he raised up here, or did
yes,
he come here?
He went to school here. He was born right here.
He was born here. Mm-hmm. So his family?
His family's right here.
Are they still here?
Most of them. He has a sister still alive. Both of his brothers died. One of his brothers worked at the community service, Bailey Folks. He was the one that got crushed with some things that fell on him in the store, and he died from it.
Then your father's folks were living here too.
His father and mother.
Uh-huh.
His father and mother lived here, and they were from the South, someplace. I don't remember.
Do you know what brought them up here?
No, I don't know the history of his mother and father. But I do know that he had three sisters and two brothers.
That is your husband, then?
Yeah.
Are any of them living here in Salisbury? Yeah.
Just one of the sisters.
One of the sisters.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Just the last one. His brothers all died and his sisters all died now. And she's the last one. And I'll give you her.
Yes.
So you can talk with her.
Okay.
She would love to talk about the family, though, because she went to school here. My husband went to school here. And They all were born and raised right around here.
Now, how did you enjoy Salisbury when you first came here? Did you like it up here?
Yes, I liked it very much because everybody was nice and friendly. Everybody worked hard. There wasn't any loafers around, people that didn't do anything. Everybody that I knew of had something, and they did it. And as now, the old people work together now. We have a very good nursing division, you know, people that take care of the sick people.
Oh, yeah.
They have a very good company of people that do that, and I work with them sometimes.
Did you, that's good. Did you participate in any of the town activities, like town hall meetings or things of that kind, while you've been up here?
No, but I vote. I take pride in being able to vote every year. I'm a Democrat. And take part in their activities when they have a meeting or something like that. And I give my little donations to whatever they have to do.
How long, now when you were working for these people, you lived in with them?
Some of them. I lived in with the Warners because he and him was separated, and I was kind of like the mammy to the girls and fixing meals and their clothes and taking care of them.
How long have you been living here in Lime Rock?
Well, I've been living right here from the time I came up here.
Oh, from the time you came up here,
mm-hmm. You
got this house right away.
My husband was living here. He bought this house. It wasn't like it is now because I worked and rebuilt it.
I know.
But he bought it when it was just a little shack and lived here. And he had a nice flower garden and a beautiful vegetable garden. And I just enjoyed canning and doing things like that. But he was a wonderful gardener. He gardened for the most of the people around here. I can't remember the people's names, but he did most of the gardening. Charlie. Remember the Charlies? They're both dead now, too.
The Charlies?
Charlie. They live right across from the Catholic Church, that big house.
Okay.
It's sold now, and the daughter and the son, I think, that had it then. They sold it, too. They're all new people now. So many new people I don't know about. I don't know, remember, because most of the people that I met and was acquainted with about, they know me and I know them, are practically gone.
How would you say that things are different now than they were, let's say, when you first came up here, or as you knew it then? How are things different now?
Well, there wasn't quite as much traffic, for one thing. There used to be a lot of horseback riding, you know. And it was easy to see people riding the horses, you know, up the trail and around. But you don't see any of that much now. And there was a stable. The miners had a stable over on that road. And there were the young girls used to go up to Drummond's to ride the horses. That place isn't there anymore. And I used to take all the kids that I'd taken care of, more or less, up there to ride at the Drummond's stables. It's not there anymore. That's a change. And markets. You got to go four or five miles now to get a gallon of milk. When there was a little shopping store there in Lakeville. We don't have a grocery
store. Where was the shopping store then? Here in Lime Rock, you mean?
Well, in Lime Rock, there was a little store up there on the main street in Lime Rock, and that's not there anymore. And then in Lakeville, there where the Lakeville restaurant is now, that used to be a
grocery
store.
In Lime, did you shop in Lime Rock at the little store there?
Once in a while, I'd stop in when I'd be coming from Canaan or someplace. I'd stop in and buy something. But most or less, I would shop at the Lakeville Food Center at that time.
Yes, forgot the man's name, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I forgot his name, too. But that was a nice store to shop in. And then I used to go over to the A&P in Millerton. There's no more A&P around. And then there was an A&P in Canaan. There's no A&P around this way anymore. So it's quite different now. We got the supermarkets. And it's one... we don't have a supermarket at all in Lakeville. We have to go to Millerton to shop. And if you don't want to go to Millerton, you have to go to Canaan. So Lakeville don't have any shopping centers for us at all.
That's true.
You want milk, or bread, you have to go all the way to Millerton or Canaan. So I keep some in my freezer.
I think it was you may remember, about 2 or 3 years ago, there was a story in the Lakeville Journal about a Ku Klux Klan cross that was burnt on the property here.
Yeah.
You remember that? I don't think they ever cleared that up. But was there ever any problem about getting along between blacks and whites in this area?
In Lakeville, not that I know of. Nothing to really be excited about, but there was a big thing said about this burning the cross in Lime Rock on the lawn of Cynthia MacArthur, and that was they said was because her son was living with a white girl there. And they say that's why they burnt the cross there.
Did they ever find out who did it?
No.
That's the only incident you know of. There weren't any other time here.
No. But there was once during the time the kids, the girls and the was in the Girl Scout. There was a little incident that happened to the Clark girl, Marion Clark. The Clarks lived in Lakeville. Kids went to school here. And this little girl was a Girl Scout. They were fixing to go someplace on a camping tour, and the word was out that this little girl couldn't go because she couldn't stay in the same hotel or in the same camp with the white kids. And it was quieted down in some way, but the mother put up a little stink about it.
Did she go, or did she
didn't? No, she didn't go. She didn't go on account of that was the word that she couldn't stay with the other kids. But other than that...
Was there ever anything at the school, at the high school or other schools?
Not that I know of. My granddaughter danced at the school. They had some kind of a Martin Luther King thing there, and she was a model, and she taken up dancing, and they received her very nicely there. They asked her to come to sing, and, I mean to dance. She was a beautiful dancer, and then she danced at Hoskins. They had a big band coming from the Caribbean, and the drums, they beat the drums there. They had a big concert over there, and she danced there. And she danced over at original at this a reception or something they would have there, and she danced. They had a big thing there, and she danced there. I made the dress for her. I was a dressmaker and tailor when I lived in New York. I had my own shop when I lived in New York. But I came here every summer to spend my vacation with my mother, with Mrs. Childs. Both of them are gone. They were lovely people. So I never knew any bad people. I didn't have no special friends. You say, my friends, I have friends that I had before I even got married, a friend that lives in New Jersey now. She's down with arthritis, as I am. And I always worked and kept busy.
About 10 years ago, when I was teaching at Housatonic Regional High School, we started a group called Concern. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
They had meetings right here at my house.
Oh, you had meetings here?
Yeah, I had a meeting here. Mrs. What's her name? She's been sick a long time now. Alla. Mrs. Alla. I had a group that came. I had dinner for them. We taking pictures with Mrs. Alla. And you know who taking the pictures? She used to have a liquor store here.
Where Marcello is?
Yeah. That was, I can't think of her name now. But she was a lovely little person. And she's in a home, in a nursing home now.
Here?
Mm-hmm. That was his wife. They had the liquor store.
Oh, Marcello's wife, Wanda.
Yeah, Wanda. I saw him not too long ago, and he told me that she was still in the nursing home.
In Torrington.
Mm-hmm. And I would someday like, if I could go to see her, I'm going to speak to him about that. But she came here, and she taking the pictures. I have snapshots of those pictures. Mm-hmm. Because Mrs. Auer brought two girls here from, what was the name of that place? Down there, they had this big riot and everything. And Alabama.
Oh, Selma.
Selma. And she brought two of the girls here that graduated from school, and one of them graduated from the Music Conservatory in Boston. And the other one graduated from Regional. And they both got married and are living out west. One lives in California now. One married a friend of mine's son that lives in, she lives on in the, they call it City Road, Town Hill Road, that joins as you're going into Millerton.
Oh, yes.
Well, her son, she married him, and he has a big job, and they're living very well. And she's teaching. One of them is teaching, and the other one is some kind of music thing, because she went to some music conservatory. And all that was because Mrs. Aller brought those girls up and helped them with their education.
Who were some of the other people that were with Concern? Do you remember any of the others?
Let's see now.
I know that Andy Casale, for instance, was a member, but did you know him?
No. I might have known him But, you know, it's been so long, and it didn't last too long. It broke up for some reason or another, but it didn't last too long. But I did go to a few of the meetings. We had one meeting up in, it was Kent? Oh, where was it? But anyhow, we used to go from house to house to have the meetings, because they did come here a couple of times. And it was concern, that's what they called it, yes, at that time. And that was when Mrs. Aller brought those girls up here. And I had a big dinner for them right here. And Nwanda came down and taking the pictures. Sometime I'll find them and I'll show them to you.
Oh, good.
You'd like to see them.
I'd like to see them, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was very interested in that.
Yeah. Well, I have all the pictures, the snapshots.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll show them to you sometime.
What happened to the, you said that you also had foster children staying with you?
Yes, I had all, I got letters from the state that they wrote me thanking me for the care that I give the children and whatnot.
Were they children from families around here or from further away?
Further away. They came from out of Hartford and out of Waterbury and Bridgeport. They would bring them here. I kept two of the girls that went right over to Reginald. One of them, Vanessa, she used to work there after school sometime out during the summer vacation. I kept her about 2 years. And Wanda, she's a very nice looking girl, and she could have gone far, but you know, as I say, sometime it just isn't in a person. I think when they have certain genes, it's going to be there. You just can't change them. That's what I think. Because she had all the opportunity that a girl wants. She could type beautifully. I got a typewriter for her and everything here when she was here. And she was taking up typing and everything. Her name was Wanda. Well, she got one child. She had one while she was here over at Sharon Hospital. A little girl, she's 8 years old now. About 5 months ago, she had another baby, and she lives in Hartford. She had this child for a black man, the one that she just had, but the first child for a white man.
She's black or white herself?
She's black.
She's black, yeah.
Very pretty girl.
Yeah.
But her mother of her father must have been white, too, because she has green eyes and she's light brown. She's a very nice-looking girl.
Sure.
So naturally, she's attracted to men and boys. But they taken an interest in her when she went, after she had this child, and she went to Hartford to live because she still went to school. And they trying to help her out on there. She was typing and learning more. And somehow or another, she just strayed away from it. And she's got this child now. She came up to see me about a month ago. Mm-hmm. Brought the baby for me to see.
How nice. How are you getting along now?
Well, are my living conditions?
No.
Well, I live on my Social Security, and that's not an awful lot. Not according to the expense, the way things are now, because my oil bill comes, you know about that.
I do.
And I do try to keep my house warm. And,
Did you ever get a pension for any of the work that you did?
No. No, I never had. That never was lucky enough to get a pension. But I do get a discount, like, for all my taxes, because my husband was a veteran, and I do get a cut, like, on my taxes. I don't have to pay the full amount, what it's really worth. And then when I get a chance and I'm feeling good, I go out with the nurses, and if there's someone I spend nights with, I make a little extra. It helped me having spending money.
Oh, so you still do some work occasionally?
Yeah, I haven't just knocked off entirely, because, well, let's see, this is November, October. In September, the first part of October, I worked. I taken care of a woman. She's dead now. She was a very nice woman, and she had cancer. And
that's in the neighborhood, in the area?
That was right down on Indian Mountain Road.
Oh, yes.
Not too far. I don't like to go too far now, but I stayed with her at night. And that is not too hard, because I just have to be alert to give them the bedpan or their medication if they have to have it, you know, at night. Rub them a little bit and bring them water or make tea or something. It's not like having to lift them enough. And they just love me for it, because I go there and they don't want me to ever leave.
But so that means that you have to do some work because you don't get enough on Social Security
That's
to
right.
meet your needs.
That's right. Right. Yeah. I have a boulder that's been here with me now for 2 years or more. Lives upstairs. I have a little room upstairs.
Oh, yes.
And he's been here for about 2 years now. And I have a girl, boy, that came for a couple of weeks. They'd be here. Fixing a home, they're building them.
Oh, so that you what do you call it? Like bed and breakfast places, or
I do that too. So,
do you have another little place up here? Is that your place? The next place up here?
No,
just this house here.
Just this house.
Yeah, right.
But a fellow that owns the filling station out of Cornwall. When the race is up, he's always send
people.
Somebody up to South and fix coffee for him or something. And I get tickets for the race, I give them to somebody.
Sure. How about other things, socially and so on? Are you enjoying yourself? I know you like the soap operas.
Oh, I enjoy that. I don't care about anything else. I used to go to Mass every Sunday morning, but after I came out of the hospital from having my accident and everything, I just don't rush myself or bother, because I think no one bothered from the church to come to see me, and I was in the hospital for over 3-4 months.
And no one came?
Not from the church.
How about the priest?
He didn't ever come. He never came here either. So I just don't worry myself.
Which church were you part of, Canaan or in Lakeville?
St. Mary's.
Oh, St. Mary's, yeah.
But the priest from Sharon always came. He'd give me my communion, and he'd talk with me. So whenever I feel like going or giving, I go over there. Because I didn't lose any Sundays when I was able. I was at Mass, and I always fill my envelope and everything with what little I could, which was $2 for my church. But I feel that, well, they didn't think about me when I wasn't able to come to church. No one from that church came to see me. And I think about that. And once I called, I felt like going. I wanted to go to church and make communion, but I just couldn't walk too far, go up them steps at the church. And I called Chilio, you know Chilio.
Sure.
I said, when you go, by Mass, would you stop by and give me a lift? He said, well, I go pretty early, and he couldn't come because he has to go early for some reason or another, but he couldn't come. So I never bothered trying to ask nobody else to carry me or give me a lift or nothing. And now my brother and my sister comes up from Florida to see me. They go, because they're devout Catholics at home. And when they come, they have to go. So I drive them. I still drive.
Oh, good.
But going up and down the steps when it's slippery or something, I don't dare try. Because I had such an awful time with my knee when I fell. You know, I had an awful fall when I worked for the Blydens. I fell in the hallway, stumbled over the little dog, and that's when I was in the hospital so long. And they kept me there with my knee in a thing hanging up because compensation was paying, you know? She had compensation on me. Compensation was paying, and they just kept me there. And when I left there and I went up to Charlotte Hungerford because I was still having trouble, and they asked me had I been in Whirlpool or had they given me hot treatments or anything. I said, no, I got nothing like that. And they gave it to me, and I felt better. And this the doctor told me I'd have to wear a brace the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. The big old heavy braces in the room right now. Because I went to a chiropractor, and he told me to take the brace off. Don't wear it because it was interfering with my spinal cord. I stopped wearing it. He said, use a stick as much as you can. But don't wear that brace. Because it had me leaning over and twisting my spine. So I stopped wearing the brace. So now I go out to work, but I let them know I can't stand up because I used to cook. I used to do a lot of cooking.
If, say, the select men were to ask you what would make it better in this community, could you make any suggestions towards that?
In the community.
What would make it better?
You mean for
people
in town?
For the town. For all of us living here.
Yeah.
What would make the place better?
I tell you the truth, I like it around here because it's quiet. And it's not a lot of confusion. It seems that everybody likes to mind their own business and do their own little whatever they do. And I like to be to myself a lot. And I don't think like having like next door neighbors. Now my daughter-in-law, when she first came here, she's a German girl. She came here with my son. And I have two beautiful grandsons and a granddaughter, and they live in Torrington. And they lived here a while with me, but it was so lonely, she didn't like it out here for nothing. She liked next-door neighbors and all, and she liked some to come in and they have coffee together and all of that. But I never had time for that. I like people, and I like to do things for people if I can, you know. But to say how running in and sit and have coffee and whatnot, if I'm, you know, I'll invite you to come. Well, I'm expecting, you know, but just having a neighbor to run in every time they feel like they just want to chat and gossip and whatnot, I never had that. And that's what she liked, you know. And she's got neighbors up there now, right next door neighbors and across the street and all. She loves that. But she's getting older and tired now, and she'd like to be back out here. Mm-hmm. But I lived in New York, and I had an apartment, but I worked all the time. I didn't have time to even know who was living in the next apartment. You know, that's the way you live in the city.
Sure.
So I stopped working when I was 8 years old. And I remember the first job I had was helping a little woman that had a boarding house, and she had this big boarding house, and it was not too far from our school. And I went there one day because I wanted to buy myself a trunk to keep my things in. And I was around 8 years old, and I went to that lady and asked, "You want me to bring some wood in for you? You want me to help you?" She said, "Yes, child, come on in. You can wash the dishes, can't you? Help me with the dishes." She had boarders that came in off the railroad. And she's a nice old lady. She was a blonde. I never look at her. And she wore a big old ball up on top of her head. And she said, "I'm going to show you how to set the table." And it was a long old table. And she put these cups and glasses on it, showed me how to do it. And I was there, and I learned how to put prunes in the dishes, little round dishes for her. And I put the glasses on the table, put the water in, and I got $2 a week. And I'll never forget that. I'd go there, and then on the payday, those men that would work there, they'd see me, they'd give me a quarter, tip me. I'd come home with four or five quarters and $3-4 with my salary.
Right.
I bought that trunk. It was a little tin trunk, spotted like I know you must have seen them. It was a little tin trunk, like a little steamer, but it looked like a leopard. It was tin spotted like, but it had a lock and key on it. And I wanted to lock my ribbons and my blouses and things up for my sister, because I'd wash and iron mine to wear to school, and my ribbons. My sister would come. She was younger than I was. She'd come and go in my drawer and take my things and wear them, and I wouldn't know till I get to school. She's sitting up in school with my blouse and my ribbon on, and she didn't want to do nothing but play and skate. And she'd come from school. She didn't want to do nothing. She was the youngest.